Welcome along to the pilot episode of a new podcast here on wideshirt.co.uk called Meme Tective. What is Meme Tective? Well, concept's fairly simple. How many times when scrolling through Facebook or Twitter or whatever else you go on, do you come across a meme or a news story or, you know, a conspiracy theory or something that's been shared by thousands of people and it turns out to be a complete load of shit? Well, if you're like me, that probably happens all day because you're on Facebook far too much. But what we're going to do here is talk about those memes and those stories. We're going to investigate them, see where they came from, maybe discuss kind of the backstory to them, any of the implications that they might have, and we'll kind of have a chat about it. Of course, I am Wide Shirt editor Keelan Balderson. Most of you will already know me from the Wide Shirt webcast, obviously, from my blog article, some of the YouTube videos that I've made over the years. But I'm not alone in this new project. I'm joined on this pilot episode by my fellow meme detective, Sam Brooks.
Hello, everybody.
And I've done a lot of non-Wide Shut podcasts and things with Sam Brooks, mostly on pro wrestling. I don't know how many of you are into that, but we do that, and we also do something called the Brocast. But who the hell are you, Sam? Why are you here?
Well, I often ask that myself, but the reason I'm here is because, as Keelan says, people who spend a lot of time on the social media websites like Facebook, Twitter, or even in my case, Tumblr, Reddit, 4chan, any of those kinds of places, you often see stories that are embellished, made up of hyperbole, and just often wrong in most cases. And I feel as though it's a public service that we need to fulfill here in debunking most of these made-up stories.
Yes, we're going to be a public service. We got a lot of hype to live up to as well. People are excited about this thing. We put the preview clip up a couple of weeks ago now, and I think it only took about 2 minutes to actually do it, but people kind of liked it, so I hope we do them justice. We have promised that this will go online in July. The day we're recording this is the 28th, so we might just... We might just about make the July deadline. I don't have the best track record when it comes to things like this. I always have great ideas, and I start things, and then I never finish them. So I'm gonna put it in your hands, Sam. You're gonna have to make me do this now we've started.
Oh, you can count on me. I'll be there.
Because there was this one time. People will know this. I made a I said I was going to make a documentary. I started a Indiegogo, which is like Kickstarter. I think I took about £500. And then I was like, guys, I can't finish this, so have your money back.
Oh, man, that sucks.
I know, and the trouble is, they take like 10% or something of every donation.
So, yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was giving the money back, I ended up being, like, out of my own pocket because I didn't finish it. But
so all in all, not a great endeavor.
No. I also got contacted by the US government who thought I was sending money to Syria, which... because the film was about... It had Syria in it, and obviously they have, like... bots or something, like, running through the internet, like, Syria, 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 and it's like, what is this guy doing? He's taking money for a film, and I guess they thought I was making a film to send money to Syria or something. I was like, hang on a minute, I'm a British citizen, who the fuck are you? Go away.
Yeah, exactly. What reason would they have to interrogate you?
I'm not sending money to Assad, don't worry. But yeah, it never got finished, so hopefully we'll actually, do this weekly or maybe bi-weekly, depending on our schedules, but we'll see how it goes. Why am I here? Well, the concept was kind of born out of a lot of things. Many of you will know that I've been at the forefront of this delusional Hampstead satanic cult story, which is a clear example as anything of how false information can spread all over social media like wildfire and actually cause real damage to real innocent people. So that's part of where this idea came from. I've become increasingly skeptical, not just of the mainstream media, but also the alternative, you know, just because somebody says, you know, I'm an alternative media source, I'm not controlled by the mainstream, doesn't mean they're actually telling the truth. So that's one thing. And I think, yeah, like you said earlier, like whenever there's a chance, an opportunity to kind of dispel false information, it's worthwhile doing. So, you know, that's one thing. But I also want to have fun with this. The Wide Shot webcast was, it got a bit dry and negative, and, you know, I just want to have a laugh. So, you know, that's part of the reason we're here. But I've rambled on here. So let's kick things off with our first story, and we'll go to Sam Brooks. What case have you been investigating this week?
The first case of our meme detective careers is the Fallen Angel case that has been plaguing the internet recently.
The Fallen Angel case, right?
Essentially, for those who aren't in the loop of this, over the past week, maybe 2 weeks ago, it was a photograph that emerged online that apparently shows a real-life fallen angel that's been captured by the government after falling from the skies. You shouldn't have to be told this, of course. Angels don't exist. At least in the form of winged people in white robes and harps with halos.
Sure, it's not just someone that fell off a plane while playing a harp. It's like, whoops.
Yeah, probably. Just taking that cosplay a bit too seriously. But it shows a elderly woman lying face down on the ground with what appears to be naked wings, very flesh-colored with veins and birthmarks and everything around it, with some grey hair over it. So some pretty weird, freaky-deaky shit we got going on here.
Now, when I think of an angel, I think of like a young man with curly blonde hair who's all smooth and not some like old hairy woman.
You would essentially think of the Hugo Boss face.
Right, yeah.
Kind of thing, like the model type build. But no, this is just what appears to be a old age pensioner who was clearly out of Werther's Originals and took to the skies to find them. Now, of course, this entire thing is bullshit, because, as we've said before, angels don't exist. But it's been all over Facebook, and it's been throughout Tumblr recently.
Yeah, I was quite depressed.
For some reason, believing this.
Yeah, I was quite depressed that I saw this on my timeline. I like to think that the people who I friended aren't that crazy. I know there's a lot of crazy out there, but really...
there is that point of having religious beliefs, and of course, everyone is free to believe what they choose, but when it directly interferes with what we know to be true and basic biology and science, you got to admit, hang on, this just can't be possible, and it isn't. So, what the hell is this thing? Many photographs have surfaced online with various fake news reports saying that it fell out of the skies into Texas, London, and even the Philippines, randomly enough.
Oh yeah, London, Texas, in the Philippines. I've traveled there many times.
Yes, I vacation there yearly with my family. But the actual source of this is a hyper-realistic sculpture created by these Beijing artists in 2008. So, a long time ago, compared to today's day.
Yeah, you get that a lot where there'll be a meme and then it'll resurface and it will be different, someone's changed something, or someone will write a blog about it, and like a whole new group of people will share it. It's like, just, there's a thing called Google. You can Google things, and it will come back with some reasonable explanations for a lot of this stuff.
Exactly, and we live in a day and age where everything that we do can be found on a website somewhere, or by a Google search. So you would automatically think, hang on, if this fallen angel has supposedly come down from the sky and landed in three separate locations at the same time, according to these news reports, there would be video footage of this. But no, there's just still photographs of this art installation that was made like 6 or 7 years ago. It's just very confusing as to why people would believe that this is real for any given amount of time. But yes, this is a fake story. You can clearly see that this angel is not real, and that's all you need to know about it, essentially. People like to believe in things that are outside of this world just to give some semblance to their religious beliefs or creative desires, but ultimately, it's bullshit.
I think sometimes people also just, when you're on the internet and you're just kind of browsing and you've shut out the outside world, you kind of end up playing like a little fantasy and you just share stuff and other people share it, and it's like you're role playing. It's almost like you're role playing your own life. No, like if you stepped outside of your door and went to the shops and someone said there's a fallen angel, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. If you're like on your computer and you're just kind of sucked into it, it's like a, I don't know, it's just like sometimes people leave double lives, I think.
I do have to agree. It's that thing of anonymous activity where you can sort of leave behind any predispositions or precursors to anything that you have in your real life. Because when you're on the internet, it's just a couple of words typed out from a keyboard by somebody nobody else knows, essentially. So to have this, I assume, would be a bit of fun, I guess, a bit of a creative exercise in order to get away from your real life. But this kind of thing, it just doesn't have any like belonging in the real world, because it's an angel. It's a fictitious belief.
Yeah, and like you can enjoy these things on there's this, what's the magazine? It was a long-running magazine. I don't know if it's still being published. I think it's called like the 40 and Times or something. And it publishes all this kind of, you know, there's other magazines as well, but they publish all these kind of stories, and you buy it and you have a little fun and you kind of learn about the, I don't know, the lore and the canon of how, you know, angels and demons and creatures and things. But you know that, you know, it's not real. It's just a hobby.
I'm a fan of H.P. Lovecraft. I'm very into the Cthulhu mythos. I appreciate it as a piece of literature. And that's fine, because there are no photographs of Cthulhu who fell from the sky and supposedly landed in London. The point being, the minute that you ground these things in reality by capturing them on photo, video, or any of the sort, it ruins it.
When you saw this, where was it being posted? Was it like a fake Onion article? Like, you get those websites, there's one I see a lot called Before It's News, and basically what they mean by Before It's News is it's not news, it never was news, it's just shit that we're gonna link on the internet. How did you come across this?
Well, it's mostly confined to the realms of Tumblr, which is known for being home to the fandoms and the social justice warriors. So you would think something here would be at home at Tumblr, and it was, to the point where I didn't see any calling out of it whatsoever. Mainly because I assume, you know, maybe it's a fault in my part, but I assume people who reblogged this post on Tumblr knew that it wasn't real and didn't entertain the idea that it was real. It was just an art installation that is pretty nice to look at if you're kind of strange. But yeah, it did creep onto Facebook, and it made it into the trending news section, and I instantly thought, yeah, no, I have no faith in humanity at all whatsoever at this point.
On Facebook, where you get the trending news, I assume that is basically just driven by some algorithm where something, when something becomes popular enough, maybe there's like certain keywords like fallen angel, and Facebook basically just puts a link up in the corner, and then people click on that and it will show you various posts that have been quite popular about the fallen angel. But it makes you wonder, at what point does Facebook perhaps need to take responsibility for the information that, because in essence they're propagating a myth, they're propagating false information. I'm not sure whether their filters kind of do they verify anything, if you know what I mean, or is it whatever's popular is just there? Because it could just be complete bullshit. And if you're just a random person, or maybe, you know, like a young kid or whatever, browsing Facebook and you see trending and you click on this, what's there to inform you that this story isn't true?
Well, I believe the way that works in particular is that it's news being talked about by the Facebook users, presented to other Facebook users by Facebook itself. It's essentially news by the people for the people, as they would probably market it as. But as you say, it could very well be susceptible to like putting out fake stories. There could be stories that literally no one's talking about, but they're promoting anyway, because it's Facebook. They have the ability to do that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and they've been caught in the past sort of manipulating. There was an experiment, I think it was last year, where what they did was, I can't quite remember, they got a certain amount of users and they altered their timelines to show, I think it was only negative stories or something like that. And they were basically just monitoring people's responses to different stories and seeing how it all worked out. And it wasn't the genuine algorithm. They played with it, so X group of people got positive stories, and X, I'm probably butchering this, but it was something like this, and X group of people got negative stories, and then they went through an experiment and crunched the data, and it's like, hang on a minute, this organization is so huge, like, you don't really know what they're playing at, but, yeah, the trending story thing, it just makes me wonder, because a story I posted on my pro wrestling page, that somehow got hooked up into that. And I was getting all these thousands of hits on my website. I'm thinking, what the fuck? Why is my Facebook page all of a sudden so popular? And somehow I just tapped into the algorithm. And what I wrote was put up there. And I mean, I like to think I have a certain amount of integrity, but could be anybody just posting any old bullshit.
Exactly, and I think that's what's happened here, exactly that. Just someone posting a fake rumor online, to what end, no one really knows. Maybe just for the sake of doing it, that's what most people do nowadays with these fake stories. And with this one in particular, it's to the point where, I guess to some people, it's believable. But to people like me and yourself, it's like, hang on, no, there's just absolutely no way that this can be true. How is this happening?
Yeah, and I think there's always going to be a certain percentage of people that willingly or, you know, that just go along with this kind of thing. I'm not sure whether this particular story is going to have a huge impact on anybody. In a week, it'll be something else. I don't know. Miley Cyrus died after jumping off Mount Everest, and then it won't be true, and people will move on to the next story.
Exactly. Lava, rinse, repeat. It's essentially a repeating process with little to no end, but it's kind of funny to see what results they come up with next.
And the funny thing is, some people somewhere are making money, whether it's from Google Ads or whatever. There are blogs that just mine all of this shit every day, and they somehow make quite a fair bit of money out of it.
And it's a shame that pretty much none of that, I assume, will go to the creators of this sculpture that everyone is talking about.
Yeah, right. It's actually quite a cool. It's quite a cool thing to look at. Like, I don't know what they were aiming to do or whatever, but, like, in terms of art, I'm not an art person, but I look at it and think, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously took a lot of work to create and everything like that, so you got to appreciate it for what it is, an art piece. Nothing else, nothing less, nothing more.
Yep, and I guess that wraps up the Fallen Angel story.
There you go. Debunked. False.
I'm pretty sure we knew that from the beginning, but there you go. That was 20 minutes of The Fallen Angel is Bullshit, people. The meme that I've chosen this week, it's not a new one. Broadly speaking, it's been out there for quite a few years, but it relates to the mass shooting problem that's facing the United States right now. You know, people aren't just killing each other with guns on an individual basis. There's become this kind of phenomenon where people are shooting up schools, cinemas, public places. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Recently, we had the Charleston church shooting, which was carried out by this young man called Dylan Roof, I believe. And so as part of, I think, this latest incident, there was a meme that was recycled that I came across that suggests the root cause of these mass shootings is psychotropic drugs. In other words, these shooters are having a negative reaction to drugs that they've been taking, perhaps wrongly prescribed by a doctor, or, you know, dubious drug companies have put these drugs out there without proper testing, without being honest about what the effects are, or perhaps they're taking them recreationally and haven't been, you know, properly prescribed them or whatever. And this allegedly is giving them the capacity to commit these horrific mass shootings, or, you know, giving them a psychotic break or whatever. But I saw this meme on Facebook, and what we'll do with this show is the memes and the stories and whatever, I'll put them up in the show notes so people can go through and read them themselves. But this meme has this big pie chart, and it's titled Causes of Mass Shootings. And on the right-hand side, it lists like kind of all these so-called causes of mass shootings. At the top, it says law-abiding gun owners. And then below that, it says guns. And below that, it says high-capacity gun magazines. And then assault weapons. And then right at the bottom, with this red color code, it says people under the influence of Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, and other forms of psychotropic drugs. And lo and behold, the pie chart is completely red, indicating that the causes of all these mass shootings are psychotropic drugs. So I thought that would be an interesting meme to look at today. Now, I've been somewhat receptive to this idea over the years, as somebody who has some close experience with mental illness within my family, just kind of knowing some of this stuff. If you mess up the balance of your brain chemistry, if you take a wrong dose of something, if doctors give you the wrong thing, or you come off a drug too soon, or you introduce a drug that's not suitable for you, or you've mixed it with something else by accident, it can seriously fuck you up. You can have a psychotic meltdown, you can have violent mood swings, whatever. And it doesn't take a massive stretch of logic to see that, combined with other factors, obviously, that a mass shooting could be an end result of that. But the point is, there is a lot of other factors that go into this. It's not as simple as just saying drugs cause shootings. It's not a helpful way of kind of looking at it, if you ask me. I don't know what you think.
Particularly with drugs, I often find it as a scapegoat more than anything else, as a way to mask what the individual's problems actually are. Say if they have a mental imbalance, or they have a like kind of a weird upbringing maybe that caused them to do this. But point being, unless it is actually applicable to the situation, I don't think that drugs of any kind of nature, recreational or otherwise, should be used as the primary source of blame for any of these kinds of shootings.
Yeah, it's not like there's a gun drug. You don't take I'm going to take the machine gun drug, and now I'm going to shoot a machine gun. there's some other things at play.
Yeah, that just sounds like it will. That sounds like it will make you grow like machine guns out of your hands or something. Like some kind of weird genetic trial that they're going with.
There's probably people that have actually said that by now on the internet.
Oh, probably. Everything's been said on here nowadays.
But I think, like, even on a basic level, when you look at this, correlation doesn't equal causation. So just because, and this isn't even true for all of these shooters, like you get these big long lists of this guy was on this drug and this, and it's like three of them, no one even knows what they were on. Another one was like on paracetamol. It's like, well, no, that probably wasn't, it doesn't have anything to do with it. But even if psychotropic drugs did play a role in a lot of these incidents, like I say, to blanketly call it the only factor, it's just a bullshit kind of, I don't know, it's a cop-out. And to me, this suggests that the person who made this meme probably has you know, like an ulterior motive, and they, you know, ideological reasons why they would want this to. Let's put it bluntly. I think this meme is a pro-gun meme. Like, you look down the side of the list, it's like guns, legal gun owners, assault rifles, and it's like, okay. And then at the bottom, drugs, and it was drugs. It's like, no, this is just a stupid. It's not like it's a scientific, you know, study. There's no real data here. Somebody's just listened to an Alex Jones rant and made a little graphic. It's just kind of a neat way to illustrate somebody's opinion. And there's actually quite an interesting element to this when I digged a little deeper. Because on the meme, and everyone can go see this, there's a short link to an article. It's tinyurl.com/psychotropic drugs kill. And if you follow that link, it actually takes you to, the page is offline now, but the page did exist at one point. And it takes you to a website called the International Society for Ethical Psychology and Psychiatry, which is shortened ICEP. And I don't know, like, have you used archive.org, you know, where you can put like a link in and it will take you to an old version of the page?
Oh, yes, I've used the, is it the Wayback Machine?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I've used that a couple of times on the old Tumblr profiles, actually, to see what the hell happened to these missing people.
Right, yeah. So if people put that link in there, they can actually see what I'm talking about. And this ICEP organization released a statement titled "The Connection Between Psychotropic Drugs and Mass Murder." I won't read it all out, but I'll just read the summary paragraph. And it says, "The board of directors and membership of the International Society for Ethical Psychology and Psychiatry send their condolences to the people of Newtown, Connecticut on their horrific losses. Our hearts go out to the parents of the children who were killed and to the families and friends of the adults who were killed. We are calling for an inquiry into the connection between these acts of mass murder and the use of psychotropic drugs. Although the media have cited family members and acquaintances saying Adam Lanza was taking prescription drugs to treat a neurological development disorder, we do not know if he was on psychotropic drugs. But we do know that James Holmes, the Colorado Batman shooter, had taken 100 milligrams of Vicodin immediately before he shot up the movie theater." So I guess this came out shortly after the Sandy Hook elementary school shooting and the Colorado Batman shooter as well. I don't know whether you've heard, like, people are, seriously, if I post this up online, people are going to be like, "Do you know that Sandy Hook never happened and they were all actors?" Like, have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. I put it in the same school of thought as, like, Holocaust denial. It's at the point where you just cannot deny that these things have actually happened. And it's quite humorous, actually, to see these people, like, coming up with any sort of theory that they can find to try and dispel what actually happened, either as part of a denial or whatever the hell they want to do it for. But it's ridiculous, to put it frankly.
Yeah, this idea that kind of the reason they say this, they say the government are the ones behind these shootings, or in Sandy Hook's case, there wasn't shootings, it was just people acting. Now, I know the government can do fucked up things. That's half of what wideshut.co.uk has been about over the years, but if this was a false flag or a completely staged event, and the reason that people say it is so the government has an excuse to take people's guns, they've done a pretty shitty job at taking people's guns, because people still have guns.
Sure, the government could be, like, accused of trying to take away people's guns, but to me, that just smells like straight-up paranoia at the point.
Yeah, well, this is the point. That how many mass shootings, like, in the last 10 years, there's been, like, I don't know, 7 mass shootings, and each one, people have said, "This is it, the government have staged this, so they're coming to take our guns, hold on to your guns." The government is still not taken any guns yet. Like, if this was their plan.
You know what I think? I think this is all a red herring. I think they're actually coming for the bullets, as opposed to the guns. Because if you don't have bullets, what the hell are you going to do with a gun? Beat people with it?
Yeah, you just got giant clubs.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I think even the idea that that would be a thing, it's a bit silly at this stage. If the government tried, literally, to come and take your guns, there would be a civil war. And that would be precisely what a lot of these gun advocates have been thinking is going to take place for all these years. That's the reason they have the guns, is because they're paranoid that the government's going to turn violent and attack them. So, why would they do that? And what exactly are they gaining from it? It's not like the government needs to take power. The government's already in power. They already take your taxes. They've already, like, what more do they need?
Well, they need your guns, they need your livelihood, they need your firstborn. Like, this isn't ancient Egyptian times. Like, there's no ends to justify any sort of means in regards to taking away a citizen's gun, but only if the specific citizen in question is proven to be dangerous and, I would say, capable of doing a mass shooting. Then I would say maybe it's fair in this instance that they undergo some form of review or something that could maybe potentially take away their gun. But you're not going to have, like, I don't know, a man in black show up at your front door and just walk into your house and take away your gun. Like, that's just an implausible scenario.
Yeah, and it's not... Even if you watch the so-called left-wing news channels where they have people on there who are kind of against guns, they're not saying, we're coming to your house to take your guns. They're saying, people who have convictions, people who have been shown to be mentally ill, people who have violence issues, maybe we should not give them guns. That's not a crazy thing to say, is it?
No, that's completely in line with how I think things should be done, because the way to prevent any of these things from happening is to nip it in the bud, and if making sure that these people who are unfit to bear arms don't have arms, then I don't see a
don't have arms.
Yeah, they just cut off both of their arms so that they can't really do anything. They can't pick up the arms with their arms in the first place.
Oh dear. People like to take things to extreme levels, but what if this is just a stepping stone to taking the guns, and first they take the crazy people's guns and then they come and take my guns? Well, deal with that when they are actually coming to take your guns. If they are coming to take your guns, I'm fine. As it stands, the law says if somebody breaks into your house unlawfully, you can shoot them, so you can have a nice little shootout with whoever wants to come and take your guns.
Yeah, exactly. Cross that bridge when you get to it, but for now, just keep the gun away in the cabinet and try not to let your children take it from you in the first place.
Yeah. But back to this statement from ICEP, which was linked to by this meme. Yeah, like we've been saying, I think there should be, you know, there's nothing wrong with conducting more research into how mental illness affects people or how psychotropic drugs themselves may be negatively affecting certain people. That just seems like common sense to me. It should be an ongoing thing anyway. And I think, yeah, quite often doctors don't necessarily know what to give people. You know, it's a lot of the time it's trial and error. We'll give you this. Come back, tell me how it makes you feel. We'll change the dose. We'll see what this does, what that does. And in certain instances, sure, it can go wrong. What's always fascinated me about drugs for, like, depression and anxiety and stuff is that one of the common side effects is suicidal thoughts. And that's supposed to be what these things are, I guess, trying to stop. So, yeah, obviously, there are still things we need to learn about drugs. Not every person has the same reaction to certain things. It's not 100% perfected science yet. Things go wrong. and we should look into that, but it's not a cut and dry situation. It's not like drugs cause shootings. It's a lot of things. It's I didn't lock my guns up, so my kid went and shot people. It's maybe this guy had an undiagnosed mental problem. It's maybe this drug did make this person snap, but why were they in that position to begin with? There's all sorts of different factors. And it's just not helpful to be so rigid in your belief as to why these things happen. This meme was basically just a pro-gun meme. It's to just say, no, don't look at guns. There's nothing wrong with guns. We should all have guns. It's the drugs. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with using drugs as a scapegoat. Drugs, I don't think, is a science many people, including myself, can really understand without, like, years of research and, like, education about the entire thing. So, being that it's a complex matter entirely, it's easier to use as a scapegoat, because not everyone really understands how these things can affect people to the point which will apparently cause mass shootings. So, it's one of those things that's easy enough to believe, but you really have to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. People fear what they don't understand, and they see, like, oh, doctors are dishing out all these drugs and I have no fucking idea what they're for or what they do. But this guy on the internet says it does this, so I'm going to believe him. Like, maybe if you went to university and, you know, you studied to be a pharmacist or something, maybe you might have a better understanding about how these things work than just what a meme says. But what I found particularly interesting about all this is that the International Society for Ethical Psychology and Psychiatry, this ICEP, it actually has several ties to Scientology, which opens up a whole other can of worms.
Oh boy, everyone's favourite religion, Scientology.
Exactly. What this is there's a whole list of groups. Perhaps the most well-known one is called the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, which is a bit of a weird name. It's an anti-psychiatry organisation, but they give it this broad term about human rights, but whatever. And ICEP, kind of, if you go through the website and the people on the board of directors and all this kind of thing, they share some of the same people. They're interviewed in each other's publications. They speak at events. Like, one person will speak at ICEP's event, and then the next month they'll be at the Citizens Commission on Human Rights event. And it looks like Scientology basically spreads their money through these groups. It doesn't mean that ICEP is a Scientology front. The Citizen Commission on Human Rights, that quite clearly is a Scientology front because it was founded by Scientologists. But this other group basically just kind of shares some of the same people and ideas and stuff. And they'll speak at the same events and whatever. And they have the same goal, which is basically, we don't agree with psychiatry. And what I want to know is, who are Scientology to have any kind of authority on this kind of subject? This is the group of weirdos that take you into a room and make you hold two tin cans and say they're going to help fix your mind. Who are these guys to be lecturing anybody on, like, psychology?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, culturally, Scientology is viewed as a joke for celebrities to join in on and spout whatever messages they want to spew, but it's at the point where Scientology is just ridiculous when viewed by anyone outside of Scientology itself. So, yeah, you have a very good point. Why should we even listen to these people in the first place when they believe in aliens and intergalactic warlords and souls inside of volcanoes?
Right. Have you seen... It's a new documentary, but it was based on a book. Have you seen Going Clear yet?
I can't say that I have.
What I took away from the film, and just reading a few other things, the reason that Scientology opposes psychiatry is essentially because they're competing with it. They have their own sort of system of understanding the mind that is called Dianetics, but it's a complete load of bullshit. But basically, they can't have people going to regular therapists and getting regular treatment because they want to brainwash them to join the cult of Scientology. So in essence, it's like a competition thing. If you've got somebody that understands proper psychology and psychiatry and is getting treatment, then they're not going to be fooled into joining Scientology.
Yeah, really. And why would I get that it's like a religious like group, it's kind of a cult thing, but to what end do you want everyone to be a Scientologist for? Like, what do you get out of it yourself?
I guess it's money.
It must be, because they have the, is Scientology the group that has the ranking system where you pay them money in order to get to a different level?
Yeah, it's kind of like Freemasonry, where you study, like, this degree, and then, oh, you get promoted, and, oh, when you get to the next degree, you get all these special, you know, almost like special powers, but you just have to give us, you know, 5 grand and 20% of your income, then you can go to the next degree, and by the time you get to the top, you're just like, I want to leave now, but I'm not allowed.
You feel no different, and you're completely out of pocket, so there's literally no point to it.
Yeah. And people should watch this documentary. It's pretty interesting. They prey, basically, on vulnerable people, unhappy people, mentally ill people, and they take them into a room. Like, you've got to be a bit whacked out to even consider going to, like, a recruitment drive of Scientology to begin with. Like, you've got to be searching for something. Like, it's just the same as people that find Jesus or whatever. They're probably down on their luck, and they're just looking for a solution. And these recruiters take them into this room. They give them these two tin cans, literally, like these two metal rods that are attached to a machine that, you know, people don't even know if it even does anything. Like, it's just a little electrical current or something. It's described as kind of like a lie detector, but even lie detectors aren't foolproof. So basically, this is just some bullshit fake machine. But they get you in there. They make you believe that they're doing something to you that's going to help you. And yeah, they give you some basic therapy. They'll listen to your problems. They'll get you to sort of admit things. A bit like a Catholic confession at the same time. And I'm pretty sure, like, when you leave there, you've probably got a lot off your chest. You feel a bit better. You think somebody cares about you. And the next thing you know, you're in the cult of Scientology.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the fact that they prey on these vulnerable people who, for lack of a better term, don't really know any better. They themselves are just looking for a crutch to help themselves in their own life with their own problems. So it's pretty easy to see why Scientology is viewed as the way it is if this is how they operate things.
Yeah, and what is interesting about, they call these sessions auditing. That in itself is an interesting word, but basically what they try and do, according to this documentary and people that have left the church and whatever, they try and get you to admit secrets and personal problems that you perhaps haven't shared with anybody else. And they do this under the guise of therapy. You know, we have the real therapy. Don't go to a psychiatrist. We know how to do this. We'll help you. And what they're actually doing is gathering all sorts of information about you. They store it on computers and in files. And then at a later date, if you want to leave, or, you know, you've had enough of this and you're going to expose some of the horrible things that they do, like slave labor and all this kind of stuff that's got going on behind closed doors, if you want to leave, they pull up your file and they have all sorts of interesting information about your psychological state, so they can play off that and make you feel vulnerable and kind of send you down a dark spiral. If you've confessed things that you don't want the public to know, well, they can just leak that to the media. And they do all sorts of horrible things. A lot of these celebrities, John Travolta, I think, was one of them. He tried to leave, but because they've got so much dirt on him that would ruin his career and all this kind of thing, he can't because, you know, it would leak out there. Tom Cruise seems to be a bit more kind of really into it, like he just loves it, and he's part of the kind of top brass of the organization. I'm not sure he's ever tried to leave at all, but apparently John Travolta tried to leave and they had dirt on him and kind of screwed everything up for him. But yeah, it's a bit weird.
That's just textbook examples of how a cult operates anyway, with a sinister underlying to get to where they want to be in their life at the expense of other people.
Yeah, exactly. And have you heard of the Richard Gere gerbil story?
I think I have, yeah.
I think it was like, it was either the 80s or 90s, I'm not sure really. I guess, when was Richard Gere famous?
I think it was around like the late 80s, I think, probably early 90s, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, the story goes that Richard Gere was considering joining Scientology, and he changed his mind, he thought it was bullshit. It's like, they give you these tin cans, what the fuck is this crap? And then Scientology, through their network of people, released a story into the media that Richard Gere was rushed into hospital because he had a gerbil up his ass. And it's like, what? Because all the implications that it was some weird sex act or whatever. But that, in theory, is an example of how they can kind of ruin your life by making people think you put gerbils up your ass.
Basically. And we live in that age where it's like people will believe anything that they hear. Like, even if there's like concrete evidence that this isn't real. It's like with the fallen angel thing. They will just believe it blind. So it's pretty easy to ruin someone's life in this day and age.
Yeah, Richard Gere is a fallen angel.
With a gerbil up his butt.
So I'm losing my train of thought here, but Scientology basically backs all of these groups that oppose psychiatry because they themselves have their own wacky kind of system of, I guess that's the front idea of it, that they have their own version of psychology, but basically it's just a brainwashing exercise to get people into their cult. But yeah, just an interesting example to me that you follow this meme that psychotropic drugs cause mass shootings, and you can find all of these different agendas, pro-gun lobby, Scientology's in there somewhere, and it's just an example of how no matter what you read on the internet, there's going to be some ulterior motive, there's going to be some biases there, and I guess the trick is just think critically about what you read. If you see something, follow the sources. See who wrote it. See what they're proponents of. Don't just believe something because you see it. Like, you know, there's things behind what you read.
Exactly. There's always the age-old tale of don't believe everything you read. There's always a trail behind everything. So as soon as you find the source of what all of this is, you will probably lead yourself to think, hang on, this, again, is just complete and utter bullshit.
And I think, as far as mass shootings go, like we say, there's no one cause. If the dude that shot up Sandy Hook, if his mother locked her guns away properly, that probably would have never happened. There's all sorts of different factors in there. And I think, really, the root problem isn't guns, it's not drugs, it's not this or that, it's mental health. You don't shoot a lot of people unless you're in a broken mentality. Any kind of criminal, really, other than like petty theft or whatever, when you get to the point of being a serial killer or a mass murderer or, you know, some deranged rapist, there's something going on in your head that's not going on in the head of other people. So you can't put the blame on all these superficial kind of symptoms. You have to get to the root of the problem. Oh, I'm not saying we know what that is, but something has gone wrong in these people's minds. And because that's probably the reason they were given the drugs in the first place, right? Doctors didn't just give them drugs for no reason. I know they do sometimes, and there's a grey area there, but it's a mental health issue. You don't shoot lots of people unless you're fucked up in some way.
Exactly, and I'm going to put my faith in psychiatry to find out what the root of that problem is, as opposed to Scientology.
Right, yeah. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps things up this week. Thank you for listening, whether it's been via the MP3, which will be on the site, or if you listened on YouTube. For the time being, will be on the Wide Shut iTunes feed. I think probably by next episode we'll probably have a separate feed up and running if you just want to listen to this show. As I said, we'd also like to hear from you guys. So if you've got any feedback, you've found any weird memes or stories yourself that you want us to discuss next episode, I think what we'll do is on the Facebook page, I'll sticky a post to the top of the page, and then whatever you want to share, just post it into that post, and we'll check it out. And where else can they hear us, Sam, on the broadcast and the Supla and whatnot?
Well, if you want to take a dive into the weird and wacky world that is the Supla, you can head over to supla.com, where we have a variety of pro wrestling related shows. We talk about the latest news headlines every week. We review the WWE's programming every week, and on the broadcast, which usually comes out every Sunday or Monday or so, we let loose on all of the restraints and we just hang out and have some fun, play some improv games, talk about what we've done in our own lives, and all in all, it's good fun. You can find all of that and more on supla.com.
I assume at some point we're going to be talking about Hulk Hogan being a racist old white guy.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
So I've been Wide Shirt editor Keelan Balderson. You've been Sam Brooks.
Indeed.
We'll catch you next time on Meme Detective.
There you go.